There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday Eve, this Thursday edition of the show. And then it sounded like this yesterday. See what that is? You know, say, Sean, the sound of the Blue Angels flying very close to the deck. It's the sound of Liberty right there, y'all. That happened. It has everybody talking about the Blue Angels that I have coming up in a second. Audio that I don't think anybody else is released yet, so it's going to be exclusive here on Midday Mobile. So the story, right? A low flyby. Blue Angels, they had Wednesday at Breakfast with the Blues, right? So they have a whole week of things. So a lot of times you think about just the Saturday show, but they have the lead up to this. And Wednesday they do the Breakfast with the Blues. I have never been to. Which, okay, side note, too. Side kvetch here. This is populism. Everybody just wants what they want. I want a law that makes it to where the Blues don't fly. When they do their thing, it's not the same weekend as the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, which, by the way, if you didn't know, 25% of trailer hitches in Mobile County have a boat attached to them. So it's rodeo weekend, y'all. Often the Blues will fall during the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, and to hell with the kids fishing. We'll just go watch the Blues. But there needs to be a law. This is not right. I need to petition somebody. You can't have the Blues flying the same weekend as the rodeo. This is it's too much. So back to the story. So they're having Breakfast with the Blues. People are out there watching it, right? And one of the jets, and it is so cool, right? If you've seen the Blues fly before, I've only done the Saturday thing. But, you know, they come out, NAS Pensacola, you see the Blues, you see Fat Albert, you see all the different aircraft out there. But this is the Wednesday thing. And I guess people are there enjoying their breakfast taquito or whatever. And then, one jet flies very close to the deck. Now, the complaints I've seen here that it's like threatening lives out there. Do you understand that even at the elevation that you would think is a normal flyover, if something happened, they're not so far up that they can peel off and not hit the people eating their taquitos on the beach? The hue and cry over this is amazing to me about the flyover from the Blues. I mean, somebody got their some beach tents messed up. Okay, it's part of the risk of what you're doing out there. But yeah, so I have this, which has not been, I don't think, aired anywhere else. We have some audio, and this is audio here from the pilots and the tower here on Wednesdays. Can y'all hit cut three there? Okay, good.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
No, ma'am. This is not a good idea. Sorry, Goose, but it's time to buzz the tower.
Okay, so that is, I don't know that, who knew that Goose and Mav were flying there, but that's audio that I don't think had been released anywhere else. But you can hear they contact the tower. The tower denied them the right to buzz the tower, but obviously, with a name like Mav, and I don't know, you know, you did it. So there it is. That has been the big talker I saw, and the idea that this somehow got conflated. I shouldn't be surprised, because the worn out trailer park ghetto that is social media out there, people got to have nothing. They have nothing to do, so they come up with, man, this is a sign of the Trump administration's lack of control. Shut up. You know, and I'm not some paid for apologist for, you know, the president. I critique. I usually like what he does, but many times I don't, and I critique. This is the dumbest thing I've heard. It shows some kind of top-down failure from Trump as commander-in-chief because they did the low pass there. I mean, come on. Come on. People are, they're just looking for something. They're looking for something. So there you go. Your thoughts on the drama surrounding the Blue Angels flyover, the shock, the destruction of some kind of, you know, beach tent thing somebody bought from Academy or something like that. I don't know. Well, somehow I think we're going to survive. Okay, this is Matthew says David Muir featured this last night on ABC News. ABC News Tonight talking about the Blue Angels' too close flyover. The video they showed had everyone cheering on the Blues, yet David Muir made it sound like it was a safety issue. David Muir is probably just parroting what I've seen on social media. It's just the dumbest thing. Like, the things they'll go after Trump on, right? And some of them, I'm like, yeah, you probably should. I've been on the Epstein list thing. I've been one of those people. But this is stupid. This is stupid. And to know that it made it as a safety issue, come on. The safety issue, and Matthew, obviously you get it. If you're on the beach and the jets are coming by, if something goes wrong at the altitudes there, that they could hit, the jet could hit you. To act like that. Now, was it the pilot? I've seen your picture here. Was a pilot probably taking a little liberty there and showing up? Probably. Did they get dressed down and hollered at? And, you know, as soon as they show back up at HQ? Yes. But the idea that this is some kind of big sign that the system is broken from the top is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And Fire Dog said, the odds of me dying while watching the Blue Angels are due to a crash, zero. Odds of me dying from a heart attack, 10%. Odds of me dying on the way to watch the Blue Angels because some illegal alien in a truck killing me, 50%. Which one should I worry about? God, Fire Dog, you sound like me and the Sharks, right? Everybody's worried about the Sharks. There'll be a story out. This time of year, sharks are in the Gulf of Mexico. Sharks, that's where they live. They're doing shark stuff. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But they don't talk about the fact that, you know, rip currents, number one, which, by the way, I saw green flags yesterday, was good for Dolphin Island. But rip currents and then, like, dying in an accident on the way down there. Yeah, B-Dark says, I thought the flyover was once-in-a-lifetime thing. Wish I could have been there. But if you would have gotten some sand in your taquito, what would have happened then? And the tent, they showed like the stills of the tent broken up. Have y'all ever been out at a kid's soccer event? Or, I mean, we did things down at the battleship with the Cub Scouts and all that stuff. And people would set up, you know, this, the old Academy tent, but put no weights on it. They just, you know, pop it up at like accordions up. You know what I'm talking about. We've got one for the radio station. You put these things up, wind catches them and blows them and destroys them. It's like a, I don't know. All right, we'll come back to something less contentious here in just a little bit, and that's data centers. And I want to have a good discussion with folks here. If you are the idea that this is a fix, try to put this one in Calvert. And it's interesting where we hear pushback, right? The Bridger Data Center, minimal pushback. Calvert, a lot more pushback on this. And actually, I think I figured out the piece of land from the description. So I think, and I've been right by it. I know right where that is. The idea that there should be something done by the county when the county doesn't make the laws on zoning, but it's in an area that, did you hear complaints when we had a steel mill go in, chemical plants go in, the garbage dumps go in? I'm going to talk about this. We'll come back and we'll give you what, oddly enough, ChatGPT says is the best places in the nation to put data centers.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, also, speaking of the 250, You know, we're now into week two of America's 250 Summer Showcase with FM Talk 106.5. Week one's winner with a patriotic photo on our Facebook page. We'll explain this in a second. Buddy Garrett winning with his picture of the White House with Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds flying in Super Delta formation. Your chance right now to take part in this on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065. And let me say this, the award-winning Facebook page, the nappy-winning Facebook page of FM Talk 106.5. So you go there, pinned up top is your chance to enter. You'll see all the details and how to enter. But I see patriotic photos, too, and we talked about this specifically going into it. Didn't say it has to have this, that, and the other. Just what is the patriotic photo to you? You post that on there, and then you make sure all your friends know so they can go like that. And each week, the picture with the most number of likes will win the weekly prize, which like Buddy did, which is the American-made flag and flag kit, right? You get that each week, and then you're in the running for the grand prize. So, and the grand prize is a monster out there. But yeah, you get the USA American flag, made American flag from American Legacy, and the mount for that. So each week, the winner, like Buddy, and it could be you this week, will win that. Then you're in the running for the grand prize, which is almost $5,000 grand prize that we'll draw for on September 1st. You can also, you can do both too, by the way, if you want to still put patriotic photos in, but go by our participating sponsors and drop your name in the box there. They're also going to be drawing names that will go in for the grand prize. So you can go by J&M Tackle, go by Gray's Craze, Cart Doctor, G&D, Farm, Feed, and Outdoors, Piggly Wiggly Locations in Mobile and Baldwin County, American Legacy as well. Drop your name in the box, and then you're also got a chance to get in the grand prize drawing. So check it out, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Right, to the text line here, let's see. Buddy said, every video I've seen, everyone is cheering, just like I will be Saturday if they fly over me like that. It would be cool. Chris in Orange Beach said, the Wild Heart, it's a 60-foot catamaran that sails out of Orange Beach, goes to the Blue Angels. The captain always parks on the west end of the line, and they use him as a marker to be on that boat when they come and turn around. Is incredible. Well, back to my, do y'all like my argument? There should be a law that makes it where the rodeo and the blues aren't on the same weekend, because I don't like it. Let's see. Yeah, Jim says, my only complaint about the low pass would be that I didn't know in advance so I could watch it to get the full experience. You mean you would sacrifice a crappy academy tent to do that? That's America, man. Fire Dog, more people are killed worldwide from falling coconuts than by shark attacks. So what should you worry about? Fire Dog, let's not bring logic into this, okay? Let's not do this. Quit with that. It gets in the way of pearl clutching. C.B. Carl says, I'm pretty sure those pilots were saying, like we used to say in the battalion, what are they going to do, take away our birthday? Hey, Jason, thank you for the traffic update here. So we have a disabled camper. This is I-10 eastbound at the 37-mile marker, causing a big backup. So once again, I-10 eastbound at the 37-mile marker. Thank you for that update. Makes me worried, Jason, sitting out in the grand expanse, the Savannah-like FM Talk 106.5 parking lot is my camper behind the truck. It's a rodeo takes some doing, right? You got to get the radio station van down there. Then I got to get the camper down there. Then boats and all that kind of stuff. So, all right. Jim in Georgetown said Elon Musk probably had the best idea for data centers, outer space. No land goes away. All that solar stuff won't need to be built. Everyone's happy, right? Everybody's happy, right? Who am I kidding? Someone will scream like they're going to build a solar plant on their property. Now, they just can't afford it. There's a difference between, and it's simpletons, I'll tell you right now, that conflate when you say somebody has a right to do something, meaning you support it. It's like every time I talk about the idea for gambling in the state of Alabama, and I don't use the term gaming because it's gambling. I also point out that it comes with societal ills. I'm not somebody like, oh, it's great. Do people have the right of referendum on this? I believe so. Are the deals that come out of the legislature crap? Yes, that's why I oppose them. I want more liberty for people to enter that than having what I call gambling utilities, picking winners like we do in our state. But I don't gamble. Like, I've been to a casino a dozen times in my life or something like that. But people go, hey, you want that because you want to gamble. I don't gamble. You know, I'm not beyond reproach as a person, but I don't gamble. So, no, but I believe in the right for... It's this silly stuff like my push for medical marijuana in the state of Alabama. Well, that's shown that's because you want it. No, I don't. For me, but I think it's shown health benefits for people who are in, you know, a pretty... You know, not narrow, but not every condition. You know, like weed guy will tell you, yeah, the weed, if you get a scab on your arm, the weed will fit. Shut up. But there are things that absolutely, that it helps people. So I'm for that. And people say, oh, that's because you just want to get some medical marijuana. No, I don't. But I can believe in something and not have like a dog in the hunt. So the same thing on data centers. I don't want a data center, you know, or don't want it or want it. It's not the data center that's the problem to me. It's the fact that you've got private property and unzoned areas, and these people are doing this. And coming back in the second half of this hour, we'll talk about what, and yes, do I understand the irony of asking ChatGPT to tell me where the best places to put data centers are? Yes, I do, but it's fun. I did it. But we'll talk about that in a second. Michael says, I love that the Buzz flight was by a female pilot. Yep. Ricardo Montalban, answering here for Fire Dog, said, I'll take on a coconut before a shark any day. It's pretty funny. And this unnamed texter says, I know I'm beating a dead horse, and I'm sorry, but I just can't seem to get over it. If you're living in this world and texting into this radio program and you're complaining about data centers, you're a hypocrite. Only the people who have bugged out, the survivalist people, have joined a monastic life. These are the only people who are outside the realm of this discussion, but everyone else has opted in. You're being spied on, and that's all there is to it. It's been this way for a few decades now. You had a chance to opt out, and you still have a chance to opt out, but stop complaining. So, yes, are there people... Sure, and the comedy of this is that people are on social media complaining about data centers, right? They're using the web, and I, you know, to complain about them coming. Now, I want to break down the actual dangers here, or not dangers of it, right? To be fair, what things would be a problem with it? The noise, right? So we don't have any, because we already have heavy industry, and I've never seen the pushback. We're putting in, you know, Austal's coming in, Airbus coming in, TK became ArcelorMittal coming in, the chemical plants coming in, the steel mill, the steel facility, SSAB coming in. You hear anything? What about the trash mountains that are in that same area near Calvert? And I know that area well. I mean, they could have. I think I've identified what tract of land it is by the description in the LandNav story from Kyle Hamrick, who will join us in the second hour. Just guessing by the amount of acreage versus what's available. I know Shepherd House Road, been on Shepherd House Road many times, and, you know, go up Coy Smith and turn. So the description, which is odd, they did say north of Shepherd House, which Shepherd House runs north-south. Coy Smith kind of runs southeast-northwest. And 43 generally north-south. The description kind of confused me a little bit, but I may have narrowed it down. But I know the neighborhood we're talking about here. I would suggest if they bought on the other side of Coy Smith Highway, they could have bought Searcy, right? Since our state shut down the metal facilities and turned everything back over to the counties and police departments that were overwhelmed by it. You know, we got that land there for Searcy. They could, but I don't think that's where it is. I think it's across the road. But the noise, I mean... I live near the airport. Am I going to hear airplanes? Yes, I expect that. I think it is cool when the Blackhawks come over my house. That's very cool. If you're near ArcelorMittal or you're near the steel, you're going to hear the clanging. So, will this data center? I mean, is there a legitimate fear that it's going to change people's lives from the pristine neighborhood of garbage mounds and chemical plants, or what's really that question here? We'll get into that when we come back. 251-343-0106.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello to my buddy Blaine at Paris Tractor in Robertsdale when I do too. Hey, Blaine.
Hi, Sean.
I thought about this, too, as I've been, like, desperately mowing, even dropping the deck down on my zero turn because, you know, got the rodeo, got all this stuff going on, and I know by the time I get home, it might be undoable if I didn't get it done. But I started thinking about people with this summer. I mean, it's now turned on, raining, it's warm, it is grass growing season. Let's talk about how you can help them cut that grass.
That's right, Sean. So right now, here at Paris Tractor in Robertsdale, we've got all of our Kubota zero turns in stock. All the way from 36-inch stand-on mowers and our zero-turn mowers up to 72-inch decks on all these in our gas and diesel models. So we've got every single model that Kubota offers in stock right now. So now's a perfect time to come by and see them, check them out. We do have a few demo mowers. So our demo mowers, how that works is maybe you're in the market for that zero-turn, but really, you know, you're unsure of it. Maybe never even owned a zero turn. We have some demo mowers that we can let you borrow for a day, go out, test out this mower, see if you really like it before you make that purchase.
I like it. Tell folks how to get in touch with you and how to show up in person.
Well, right here at Paris Tractor in Robertsdale, you can come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can visit our website at paristractor.com. You can see all of our new, used, and our rental equipment. Or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, Blaine checking in from Paris Tractor. I want to read this list here. And yes, do I understand, like, is it funny that I use ChatGPT to find the best places in the United States to put a data center or North America? Because I've been thinking, too, on the cooling idea, would you want these data centers to be way up in the frozen north, right? Easier to keep them cool there. But of course, now we have the issues of the cable that brings the information to and fro from the data center. But so I had this thing kicked out the list. So here you go. Here's what ChatGPT says. The strongest locations in North America based on today's market. Number one on their list is Northern Virginia. And they call that Data Center Alley, which you want to talk about an area that it surprises me. Obviously, they need the connectivity, but you talk about a place with high price of real estate. I mean, you go to, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, DC suburbs. It's stupid high. But that's, they said, the pros for Northern Virginia are the largest internet exchange in the world, lowest network latency to many U.S. markets, hundreds of fiber providers, massive cloud presence as well. Yeah, they said in their cons, land's expensive. You got that right. Power is becoming constrained and competition for new electrical service is intense. Okay, so that's Northern Virginia. They said number one, but it talks about the cons here. Number two, they said for the lowest operating cost in the nation for a data center, where would you think that would be? I'm thinking, right, southeastern states, different. Iowa. How about that? Says Iowa has become one of America's premier data center states. Inexpensive electricity, cooler climates reducing cooling cost, abundant land, which what they're going to be turning the cornfields into data centers. Strong tax incentives, so they're incentivizing this. Instead of fighting it, they're incentivizing it in Iowa. And a reliable electrical grid. Major companies there include Google, Microsoft, Meta, and Apple. For fastest growth, Texas on the list at number three. Says Dallas-Fort Worth is one of the fastest-growing data center markets. Advantages, central U.S. location, large labor force, excellent fiber connectivity, business-friendly environment. Challenges, higher cooling costs because of the heat. In some areas, face power reliability concerns during extreme weather. Remember that? They've had the brownouts from the hot and the cold out in Texas. Number four on their list, Quebec, Canada. You know, and that's what I thought. I thought, at least on the cooling thing, the further north you would go. It says many companies locate data centers in Montreal because hydroelectric power is relatively inexpensive. Cool climate reduces air conditioning needs. Electricity has a very low carbon footprint and a stable political environment. I do like the fact that they list the stable political environment for Canada, but they don't put that down for the United States. Number five on their list, Oregon and Washington. Pacific Northwest, hydroelectric power, mild temperatures, strong fiber infrastructure, lower cooling cost. So the cooling costs has come up on so many of these, right? So that's one of the things I wonder about here in Alabama. So to ask, I said, well, you know, where would Alabama, you know, compete in this? It says Alabama has several advantages. The pros are comparatively low electricity prices, a low risk from earthquakes and wildfires, attractive business incentives, access to the Port of Mobile, existing fiber infrastructure, and available land at lower cost than many major markets. Ding, 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 we got a winner, right? The challenges are hot, humid summers. You got that right. Hurricane risk, and Alabama has fewer long-haul internet connection hubs than Northern Virginia or other areas. So the things it says here is what do data centers look for or companies look for? Number one is reliable power. Number two, fiber connectivity. Number three, low natural disaster risk. Number four, cooler climates. Number five, tax incentives. Number six, skilled workforce. And number seven, available water or alternative cooling options. So there you go. So yes, the comedy of using AI to tell me where the best place for a data center is, it's not lost on me. I don't know if it's lost on this guy. Look up here. It's our buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies. Wants to chime in on this. John, the cooling thing. Yeah, the cooling thing we don't have. I mean, the other parts.
Yeah. This whole time I'm sitting here listening. So I was involved in a data center up in Montgomery for the Retirement Systems of Alabama. We built a data center in 2011, 2010 era. And natural disasters was one of the biggest things. Of course, they have tornadoes sometimes in Montgomery. So we had to kind of bolster the floor and, you know, protect it from glass and all that stuff and put cages around it. But, yeah, cooling and powering one of these things is the biggest problem. And, the natural environment is somewhat, but when you get a bunch of servers in such a dense environment, it don't really matter if you're in Antarctica or whatever. It's going to get hot, you know. So the number one way to cool these things is, you know, chilled water loops. So the water inducts the heat, you know, and then the chillers cool the water off, and then it just goes into a loop. So, you know, I've seen them put data center boxes underwater, you know, to get the heat dissipated from the servers as fast as possible.
Underwater, in a lake or something, or?
Yeah. So, like, they
that's not good if it's umbilical. It makes a lake hotter than it's supposed to be. That's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know any of the, you know, I've read some of the, you know, the ecological impacts or whatever on doing that. And I think that's why it hasn't taken off is because, yeah, absolutely. You're changing the water temperature of the natural environment. But they're self-contained data center, shipping containers with an umbilical cord for the power and the data. I'm sure they use kind of some sort of heat sink to get the heat out of the container and the best, you know, do the heat transfer to the water from the data center or from the box itself. But yeah, they've tried all kind of stuff. And I'm wondering on your list there, I wonder if Iowa is because they have a lot of wind power.
I don't know. It said relatively. Iowa, it said it listed the pros for Iowa. Inexpensive electricity. Yep. It didn't say where that came from, but inexpensive. Yep. And then it says cooler climate, abundant land, strong power. Tax incentives, reliable electrical grid.
Yep. Power is probably number one. You know, connectivity is also a huge thing.
Yeah, what if you had to sacrifice? We got a seesaw here. Okay, so you're coming in, and I said, yeah, it's a long, you know, the power is available and the power is, you know, cheaper than it is in, I don't know, California or New York. But the cable you're going to have to run to get to this network is going to be longer. Which one do you think moves the seesaw more for these companies?
The cable.
Okay.
Because,
really?
Yeah, if you don't have enough data, if you don't have enough bandwidth coming into these data centers, you're talking terabytes upon terabytes, petabytes of data every second in some of these data centers that have to be transferred into these dense environments. I mean, you know, they have got servers stacked from a full rack all the way down to the floor. So there's hundreds of servers in these racks and per rack. And there's, you know, thousands of racks per data center usually. So that is a lot of data that has to come in and out of those data centers. And just like the one in Montgomery, that was our biggest concern too. We had to enlist some, you know, internet service providers to get a POP established in Montgomery. because it was all in Marietta, Georgia. And
what's a POP? What's that acronym? What does that mean?
It's point of presence. So it's okay. Where a large so there's relatively speaking. I mean, this is not. The internet has expanded, but there was May East and May West, and those two were on the East and West Coast, basically, of the United States. That's where all of the internet traffic for the United States basically originated and egressed and ingressed from to the rest of the world and to other networks. That's changed a lot. They've spread those out. So, like Atlanta and Marietta, Georgia, they have a ton of varying internet connectivity there on various levels of carriers and such, because you got tier one carriers that are directly connected, like AT&T, that supply the major backbones, and then you have like the secondary carriers, and you go down from there. It's called tier one carriers to tier three. So like your little cable modem is obviously not a tier three carrier. It's somewhere down there on the list, but yeah, data center connectivity just as important as power, I would say.
Okay.
Now, obviously, operating costs. But
does that mean cooling, does it work this way? If the first, do you see clusterings? Like if the investment's made to get that the connectivity gets better someplace, then maybe there's the first company comes in and does that. Then others come in behind them. Say,
yeah,
okay, now this is a spot.
Yep. So when the infrastructure is built, that's kind of what happened in Montgomery. Is when the infrastructure was built, it built that infrastructure out for the data center, so other carriers came in and took advantage of that infrastructure, and were able to build out additional infrastructure on various carriers. And they love diversity too. So like, for instance, if I said, hey, we're going to build a data center, and AT&T was my only provider into that data center, that's really not favorable, because
that's risky.
You need multiple carriers into that thing, like Verizon or all these other major carriers out there. So there's a lot to the geographical area. And natural disasters was another one that is looked at, because obviously you don't want a volcano going off at your data center. You don't want earthquakes. Earthquakes especially are probably susceptible, and just any kind of geographical or geopolitical, I'll say, motivation, because and these data centers, I feel like I would much rather live next to a data center than a power plant, than a chemical plant. I mean, there's nothing inside of them that's going to go boom, what I mean?
Nothing getting in the groundwater, nothing getting in the,
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, they're not, they're not leaching material into the ground. Now, the economic impact of one of those, though, these data centers are usually dark. So other than like mechanical engineers and your IT people coming in and out every now and then, a data center prefers not to have a human being in there, because of obviously a human being can make something, they can trip over a cable, or mm-hmm. I'm just being sort of
no right, but
they don't want people walking around in these things.
Well, and I think that's part of it too. The reason these things get such pushback is they don't come with the normal rah-rah-rah of jobs. Although Commissioner DeWitt was on with me yesterday. He said this one for Calvert, he talked to the people. They're supposed to have, I forget how many. I know the salary was like $120,000 for the people working there.
Sure.
Maybe it was like 50 people or something like that. Maybe it was more.
Yeah, they're going to have.
But it's not an Austal. It's not an Airbus. It's not a TK. It's not that. So maybe that's the reason people.
A lot of these. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's very small. I would say, 20, 50 people is your max that you're going to have at a data center. But the salaries are going to be higher. But at the same time, a lot of these folks that run these data centers are going to bring people and implant them in most of the time. Now, it's not always, but, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry about that.
No, about it than it's people, for some reason, think that, I've got to be – I'm not – really, it's not even, I think as a world, obviously we're going to need more data centers. Hopefully they get even more efficient so they can do more with smaller footprint. But it's not even, it's just, my question about it is, you and I both live in the county. You and I live in the, you're another one of my neighbors, live in the country.
Yep.
You live there to not be zoned to, be able to do what you want to do. And you do take a risk that somebody can put up a dang, whatever,
solar farms.
Yeah, or anything next to you.
Yeah, and solar farms, you know, I've read a lot of this. You know, I'm pro solar. Absolutely.
As you and I are both nerds on that stuff. Yes, yep. We love it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's the way to go unless some other, you know, huge advancement comes in that technology. I think it's absolutely the way to go. Now, you know, is the technology getting better for more density in those panels and so you can generate more electricity with less square footage of panels? Absolutely. And the same thing with the data center. The servers are getting more efficient, so therefore there's less servers required to do what you need to do, and therefore less power footprint in the data centers. But, you know, one of the challenges, too, like Meta, for example, tested a data center up in the Arctic Circle area.
Oh, how'd that work?
Well, the challenge is to get cold air into the data centers in a non, you know, because you got humidity, you got other things in the air that you don't want, you know, in close proximity to your servers.
Polar bears.
That's why. Yeah, exactly. Polar bears.
Can't leave the doors open. Wildfire. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it was a challenge to get the air, and also there's the natural impact of that too. You're putting hot air back into the environment. Now most of the data centers in the United States are using chill water loops, so they're no more impact necessarily on the temperature than like a big building would be, or, you know, a same building with a chiller on the roof.
That's the closed circuit stuff. The closed circuit water loop is what you're correct. Talking about. Okay, because yep. I heard that talked
about. Yeah, so it works. Yeah, it works just like a water chiller on a building somewhere where you have a chiller. There's just many more of them usually in a rack row because you have to cool down to the micro level on those servers. You can't just, you know, put one vent in the data center and call it good like you can in a occupied building.
Okay, so you don't cool the room, you cool the actual server.
Correct. Yeah,
okay.
You cool at the server level or the rack level. So you want to put those in-row cooling units as close to those servers as you can. And so you typically have about three server racks and then you have a cooling unit. And that's how that usually works. So you just got a lot more mini air conditions basically in a much denser space. So, you know, if you had a 48,000 square foot data center, you just have a lot more air handlers to deal with than you would in a 48,000 square foot tenanted
people center.
Yeah, people. Exactly. Yeah. So, but as far as, you know, again, I'm kind of torn on it because it's like, well, here's another impact too that people really, really miss. And I think this is why Dallas is such a good place. So if I'm a big company, right, and like Austell probably has their own data center that they've built over the years, you know, but or they host it somewhere else. But if I'm a big company and, you know, people aren't building data centers anymore at the middle, you know, mid-tier level, even some of your larger companies aren't building data centers just because of the cost and the connectivity and, you know, their headquarters might not be in a favorable location to put all your servers. And if you don't want to put them at Microsoft or Google's enterprise, or, you know, if you want to keep it sort of your own servers and not sell your soul out to Microsoft or Google, well, you know, you're going to have to build a data center, or you're going to have to find one to co-locate. So there's something called data center co-location where if I'm, or like, for example, the radio station, you guys have, you know, plenty of servers and, you know, you need that kind of connectivity. You know, you could rent a rack or a half of a rack and put your servers in there, and, you know, as long as the data center owner keeps the power and the cooling going, you know, you're in a pretty good spot. You know, you don't have to worry about any kind of, you know, that's why Montgomery was favorable as far as businesses down here on the coast, because if we get a hurricane down here that rips up our infrastructure, at least Montgomery's a little bit more inland. So, you know, a lot of folks put their servers in Montgomery and just you know, have a minimum presence of
down here.
IT infrastructure. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, so when you do put a data center, it depends on what kind of data center it is because, you know, Meta doesn't lease their data centers out. Now, Microsoft has Microsoft Azure, which is their leased data center space, but that's a different – they don't allow you to put Sean's server in their racks. You know,
okay.
you can buy it from Azure, but – co-location space for businesses, that's that would attract a business to a particular area if that was the kind of data center they're building.
Hey, John, we're up against the end of the hour here. Sorry. But can you join me maybe next week? We can get you on and talk more about this.
Absolutely. Sorry, you got my blood flowing when you're talking about data centers. I was like, yep.
It's a man who knows knows his way around it. Our buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:56, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Rodeo Weekend, Blue Angels Weekend. Should be a law about them being on the same weekend, but... All right, let me get some text through here before we head to the news, and then Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap joins us. He's got a data center story as well. All data centers, all the time. All right, the unnamed texter here says, first of all, says, hey, man, China is putting their data centers in the ocean. Is that an option? Sure it is. I don't like it. Of course, that's China that gives, that's the comedy, too, when, like, the Kyoto protocols and asking the United States, if you hadn't heard me long enough, I'm a pretty green guy, right? I'm for clean air, clean water. I push at that stuff. I believe it wholeheartedly. It drives who I am. But to try to get in some... I mean, the Chinese give no dams. I mean, they're where we would have been 50 years ago, you know, with their consumption of coal and their air quality and all that. But it would be the Chinese that would put the servers in the ocean. I don't want to warm the water up. That's what I said about the lake to John, is I would worry about something like that. Environmentally, like, we don't need to change the natural temperature of whatever given body of water. You know, we don't need to do that. But but the Chinese, you know, they don't care. Let's see. This from Bacon Wrapped. So, which, by the way, Bacon Wrapped, great name. So what do they really need to be close to make them efficient? Power, water, fiber optic, solar power on the roof puts the building in the shade. By the way, too, a lot of great text here. We'll try to get back to some of these. I do want this one. Mommy Issues says, Sean, may I ask, will these data centers be considered in communities like Vestavia Hills or Mountain Brook, or will it be in poorer communities? Mommy Issue, what do you think about real estate prices? Where do you think? You buy where the land's cheaper, but then again, you're probably not business-minded, so I can't help you with that.